1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Mike Murray.
Tumbleweed, tumble down the road ahead of me. Tumbleweed, tumble down the road. I got many miles behind me and many more to go. Tumbleweed, come on and lead me home. I've been everywhere and seen most things a man can see. While looking out the windshield at this open country, I went to where the black hills cascade into the plains, but I still see nothing so lovely as your face. Wait for me, wait for me, my brown hair beauty. I just gotta get this old van down the road. Yeah, well, we took the 87 south after the 25. Took that old straight highway to the Hale County line. Oh, we kept the wheels rolling till the morning broke the night. I thought about you while I watched the sunrise. Wait for me, wait for me, my brown hair. This old van down the road. Yeah, I gotta push on through. Yeah. And I gotta get on home to you. Well, I was glad to get to Texas and get some brand new tales to tell, but I can't even find the words to explain you how I felt. To get back to Montana and see my wife and kid, when I got home I was overjoyed, I did. She waited for me, waited for me, my brown hair. Down the road ahead of me.
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome Mike Murray to the show. How are you doing?
Good, John. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to get a chance to sit down and talk shop with you. We want to tell listeners right off the top that we are doing this interview from the Kalispell Grand Hotel. Just 3 minutes away from the home of
3
one
minutes
Mike Murray.
From my house. Yeah, it's perfect.
Just happened that long story short, the host of the program was on the road and seemed a fortuitous opportunity to get a chance to meet up with you here in Kalispell. MikeMurrayTunes.com is the name of Mike's website, and the most recent recording is Tumbleweed. I think where I want to start, Mike, is let's just talk about Kalispell, since we're in Kalispell, yep. The Grand Hotel.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your hometown and just kind of give me a little bit of a history of how what it was like growing up in Kalispell and kind of how music came into your life.
Yeah. Well, my parents moved out here. Well, they moved to Whitefish in the 70s, kind of on a whim. I think my dad had been traveling the world and spent some time in New Zealand, and one of his traveling buddies said, hey, if you like New Zealand, you got to check out Montana. So somehow he convinced my mom that they should pack up all their belongings and move to Whitefish, and they did. And I guess they got like a place right on Whitefish Lake for like nothing in the 70s. It was sort of before boom time tourism hit. And
it's for our worldwide podcast listeners. You cannot get a place in Whitefish Lake for nothing these
right
days.
Yeah. So anyway, and then my dad went to the University of Montana for a bit, and then they came back and settled in Kalispell. And so, yeah, as you said, I this is my hometown. I was born and raised here. I graduated from Flathead High School. And, you know, all the, well, a lot of the music education I received was here in Kalispell. That sort of set the foundation for my career. I took piano and drums and a little bit of guitar from Steve Eccles. And then I took vocal lessons from Marcia Sibylrud, who's another well-known vocalist and music educator here in Kalispell. And yeah, so I attribute all of my musical foundations to a bunch of great folks from here in the area.
Was there a lot of music in the household when you were growing up?
There was, yeah. I have one sibling, an older sister, and she also was really interested in music growing up. And so she played piano, and she did it a lot better than I did. In fact, my grandfather was nearing the end of a you know, long battle with cancer, and so my mom thought it'd be nice if the kids could make a video of us playing piano.
Oh, nice.
And send it to him. So my sister sits down at the piano and plays something beautifully and perfectly, and I sit down and bang something out horribly. And I think my grandpa's response was, of course, very gracious, but maybe it's time to let the boy quit.
Oh, man.
But it was good, because that's when I started playing drums, which was really the first time I experienced the passion for music that now, you know, consumes my life. I just fell in love with playing the drums.
Interesting.
And for some reason, you know, my dad, you know, loved a lot of really great classic artists, but one of his favorites and became one of mine was The Doors. I think I liked the drumming style in The Doors. And so I would put headphones on like hours a day and try to learn Doors songs, you know, note for note on the drums, and drive my parents crazy. This was probably when I was in junior high school or something. So yeah, that was when I got bit by the music bug, was when I started playing drums.
Well, just for those listeners who haven't figured this out already, that's not the instrument that you're known for now.
Right. Yes.
So let's talk about how the drums led you to being an accomplished guitarist and singer-songwriter.
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, okay, yes, that's I remember now. So being the drummer, you know, eventually you want to form a rock band. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I quickly found guys in my school that played guitar and bass, and being the drummer, you usually had to host rehearsal, because, you know, who yeah. wants to move the drum kit, right?
Right, sure.
Plus my house always had food, and we had a basement, you know, so that was good. So anyway, it started happening where I'd watch my buddies playing electric guitar, and I thought, oh, that's pretty cool too. So when we'd be on break, I'd, you know, pick up the guitar and learn how to play Smoke on the Water, you know, like on the low E string. And I really started gravitating towards it. It all sort of picked up speed from there.
Somebody but ourselves. We all wanna get some money, some money for ourselves. Nobody needs nobody, nobody for some help. Nobody finds it funny if we end up by ourselves. Keep on with progress to pay the price.
This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and we're speaking today with Mike Murray. Mike, let's talk briefly about the most recent recording, Tumbleweed. It feels like this was a real nice step for you in terms of your development. Maybe talk about the process of how the project came together, you know, how you saw it from the start and how it ended up and how it's sitting with you now,
right,
a year later.
I think as a solo artist, you know, I've never really felt clear on what genre I was or even what genre I wanted to pursue. And I still don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know whether it's confusing or whether it's a nice dose of diversity. I'm not sure. But I think that, you know, my first album was pretty middle of the road, sort of light rock pop kind of singer songwriter stuff. And then, my EP that I made in between that and Tumbleweed was, you know, was not super heavy, but, you know, pretty aggressive rock blues. And I think what happened that really created the space for me creatively to make Tumbleweed was I had a brief stint where I started another band, a trio called The Left Ready, and that was like a super heavy riff rock kind of, you know, turn it up to 10 and drive fast, take chances kind of band. And I did a lot of co-writing with the other guys in the band, and it sort of gave me an outlet for all that rock and roll, which I definitely love to play and love to write. And so having that out of my system, I sort of thought I wanted to make a really organic singer-songwriter album. And I was listening to a lot of Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash and some of those classic American singer-songwriters. And I think a lot of that flavor came through on Tumbleweed, having a touch of the old country kind of feel.
Let's talk just briefly about some of the material that's on the album.
Yeah.
Again, as I said, you know, I ask how the album is sitting with you, and I've talked to so many musicians who talk about the process of how songs grow with them, or sometimes they go out of favor, sometimes they come into favor. At this point, now a year after the release of this recording, are there particular songs that kind of stand out to you that you're like, oh yeah, that's, I'm kind of digging that? Or maybe hearing them in a new way that you hadn't when they were just finished.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I think of all the albums I've made, I've enjoyed this one and the material on this one the most. I wouldn't say I feel tired of anything yet, which is nice, because there's a lot of my other songs that I do.
Yeah, sure.
And you know, it's been about a year of playing them pretty heavily live. I think perhaps the reason is that the songs are so personal and so autobiographical. Balance and Rhythm, as well as the Left Ready compositions, were not necessarily deeply personal and deeply autobiographical. Whereas these ones, you know, there's a song on there called Audrey's Song, which I wrote sort of a little bit before and a little bit after my daughter was born, my only child right now. So, you know, the emotion of having a kid and the fear and the excitement and the love. The song Bury Me in Montana is kind of just this collection of my experiences and deep love for Montana. And then there's some, you know, there's quite a few songs on there that are pretty heavy and dark, and they represent, you know, dark times I went through, particularly at the beginning of my career, trying to make it work and failing, having no money, seeing my peers, you know, highly successful in all kinds of different fields, you know, and me feeling like I couldn't get a restaurant to call me back to play a gig or anything, you know. So it's weathered well. I'm proud of that record, and I enjoy playing the songs live.
Interesting that the first two tunes that come to your mind are the beginning and the end of life.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a great point. Yeah.
Interesting.
Definitely.
did my best to be ready, and I realized I never could be. Now I'm stark staring into the mirror, and I'm not sure I like what I see. The weight that I hold in my hands now, and the burden I bear on my back, is a ship to set straight on its journey, a train to keep on its tracks. When the wind blows and the leaves change, the snow piles high on top of the ground. Seasons will pass, years will go by. I'm gonna love you for the rest of my life. I don't know what I'm doing, but I know I love you. Your mama calls you a princess, but that sure don't make me a king. But you're making me into a better man without ever saying a thing. Oh, and right now you can't understand it. It's gonna be years before you finally do. But when you look down into her eyes, you're gonna know how I was looking at you now. And see you when the wind blows and the leaves change, the snow piles high on top of the ground. Seasons will pass and years will go by. For the rest of my life, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know I love you. I'm trying to give you every part of me. Oh, but I'm still half the man that you deserve me to be. When the snow piles high on top of the ground. Seasons will pass, years will go by, and I'm gonna love you for the rest of my life. I don't know what I'm doing. No, I don't know.
Mike, I wanted to ask about your project, 10 Songs, 10 Stories, 10 Days. It brings to mind a fellow Flathead Valley resident, Luke Dollar, who was on the program, who did something similar to that. He did videos.
Yes. He did eight songs in 8 weeks, and you know, did a full recording and full video for each song. And it was an amazing effort, and some great material came from it.
Well, let's talk about yours.
Okay, confess that this mine is two things. Number one, it was a failed experience, and number two, it was just a recap of the songs from Tumbleweed. I was just, after the record released, I set out to write, the story of each of the 10 songs in a series of 10 days. And I think I made it 3 days, and summer hit, and I played gigs every night and sort of lost steam. So I should say, rather, it's not a failed project. It's a work in progress.
Huh.
And I suppose I've got 7 left to do, and I never said they would be consecutive days.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, just in initiating that project, what have you found that you've learned from just doing what you've done so far?
I think something I've seen as a common theme, you know, as a singer-songwriter, is that people that appreciate singer-songwriter music, they love to hear the story behind the song. And, you know, for me at this stage in my career, you know, to play a true listening room is a rare experience. It's a wonderful experience, but it's rare. And so I thought I could use, you know, the platform of my website as an opportunity to just give the backstory to the songs and, you know, let those that are interested mm-hmm. be able to check it out.
Do you ever find that people are surprised or even disappointed when they hear the story behind it because they have this whole idea of what they think the song is about?
Yeah, I'm certainly amazed at the way that your songs can be interpreted. Mm-hmm. And I know what you mean. I've even, you know, if someone has come to me and said, this is what the song meant to me, and I'm thinking like, wow, I can't believe that's what they got out of it. Mm-hmm. I almost hesitate to tell them the story because it seems lackluster or seems like I don't want to take away how they interpreted it, which is, I suppose, one of the really cool things about, you know, music or poetry, that it can speak to different elements in people's lives, no matter where it came from the writer's perspective. Yeah. So
this is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Kalispell, Montana, singer-songwriter and guitarist and drummer, we're finding out.
Yeah.
Multi-instrumentalist Mike Murray. Mike, I wanted to go back to Kalispell, Montana for a second and just ask, do you feel that there's something uniquely Kalispell in your music?
That's a great question.
Or Montana, for
yeah,
that matter, I guess.
I think I have always... Well, I should say this. I think that in my journey as a musician and a songwriter, I, for a long time, thought I would eventually need to leave here to make it or whatever. You know, it sounds... I hear the naivety dripping from those words as I remember my state of mind, you know, several years ago. Over the last 5 years, I've come to, you know, absolutely love and appreciate the opportunity for the arts and for music that we have here in Montana. And so I think I've always personally loved Montana and never really desired to live anywhere else. And so now that, you know, my music career and that personal love for Montana have sort of become one, I think that's really reflected in Tumbleweed. And so, yeah, I would say for sure there's definitely Montana essence in my songwriting, particularly of late, and I want to keep doing that. I you know, I've been reading a lot of Old West literature, and I love the language, I love the history, I love Native American history. And so I do feel like it, whether it's, you know, in the lyrics themselves or even in just the feel of the music, I certainly, you know, want and hope that there's, you know, a feeling of Montana, of creativity, of courage, of, you know, self-sustenance that comes through in the music. Mm-hmm.
Mississippi and went west across the plains. Courage and calamity left cairns along the way. Our fathers danced with danger under our mother's watchful eye. The west became their fortune, but it was also their demise. Bury me in Montana when I die. Let the rivers rest my soul underneath this great big sky. And may the mountains be my headstone, and in her meadows may I lie. Bury me in Montana when I die.
folds of autumn's wardrobe, the endless daylight of July. Montana is a treasure that money cannot buy. This must have been John's revelation, or just this Rocky Mountain high. Either way, just get me back before I die. Yeah, so you can bury me in Montana when I die. Let the rivers rest my soul underneath this great big sky. And may the mountains be my headstone, and in her meadows may I lie. Bury me in Montana when I die. I've been from coast to coast and across the sea, seen the South Pacific and the white sand beach, the shoreline and the plains of Africa. I've seen London and the River Thames. I've been most everywhere, but I came home again. There's only one last best place where I wanna lie. Go on and bury me in Montana when I die. Yeah. Oh, you can bury me in Montana.
MikeMurrayTunes.com is the name of the website. Terrific website.
Oh, thanks,
really
John.
Well laid out, and it's got all the information you'd want to know about what Mike is up to, both in his projects as well as his performance schedule. It's been a pleasure talking shop with you, Mike.
Yes, John. It's been an honor to be here. Thanks for having me.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Mike Murray. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us on Facebook. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Kalispell Grand Hotel for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.